let's dig into some of the most controversial topics in agriculture today. None of these views reflect Middle Tennessee State University's beliefs as a whole. Hello, I'm Sincere Douglas, and today you are tuning in to Squabbles of the Soil, and I am here with Chelsea Nealon to discuss pesticide use in food crops. Okay, so what is your name and some information about yourself?
Well, my name is Chelsea. I am a small-scale organic farmer in Bennett, Colorado. This is my second season. I've been growing food for a decade, but doing it on a commercial level for 2 years.
All right. And can you tell me what made you want to get into producing on the commercial level instead of small scale, like small level?
Absolutely. So when I first started growing food, it was to protect my family from pesticide use. Mm-hmm. And so I had a small garden and, you know, I just fell in love with nature and the feeling of being involved in this wonderful miracle. And I wanted more than just my family to be able to experience the benefits of organic, healthy food. And there just wasn't enough space in the suburbs to grow enough food for as many people as I wanted. So we started searching for land and bought 10 acres recently to be able to feed more people.
All right. That's really great. All right. And could you tell me what is your involvement in the use of pesticide use in food crops? And what experience do you have with using pesticides? I think we just covered that part.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't have a ton of experience using pesticides, but I do have a decent bit of experience dealing with their aftermath. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where my job focuses, is rebuilding ecology.
All right. And could you elaborate on that for me? How is your experience with working with the aftermath of pesticide use and how it has affected crops?
Yeah, so when I first started growing, my goal was to do what Mother Nature does. Mm-hmm. She's been doing this for billions of years. Who am I to tell her what to do? So I just started diving into what it is that the ecosystem needs. What is it that the soil needs? What do the plants need? And as I was learning about what goes on in an ecosystem and a food web, I started noticing all of the things that need to be added. You know, it's all, you have to add compost, you have to bring back the beneficials. And then I started to ask, well, where did they go? Why do I have to rebuild and add all of this stuff? Shouldn't nature just do this on its own? And then I started realizing that the use of pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and synthetic fertilizers were killing off all of this life that is supposed to be taking care of the plants. So if you think of a microorganism, that's usually a single cell, you know, they don't have skin like we do to protect them from the outside world. So when pesticides are applied to the soil, they're based in salt and petroleum. So if you don't have any skin and you're covered in salt, we all know what happens to a slug when you pour salt on it, right? Yeah. It dries out and it dies because it has no protection. So, you know, I could go on about that for hours, but there are, you know, the use of the pesticides is creating an environment that's inhospitable to the living organisms in the soil. And those organisms are what are feeding the plants, the healthy, you know, macro minerals and vitamins that we need and that we want. When we eat a delicious tomato, we think it's a vegetable that's good for me. Mm-hmm. But if it's not getting any, you know, nutrients from the soil, then it can't have any nutrients to give to me.
Yes. That actually...
So it's also affecting... Yeah,
go yeah. ahead. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Do you feel like... you know the feeling sometimes after you eat when you get, like, super sleepy or just super foggy? Do you believe that that is, like, related to the use of pesticides and that what we are putting in our food and putting in our bodies is resulting in us being, like, less, what are the words I'm looking for? Like, less productive healthy. And less healthy, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't speak a lot to the specific feeling of being tired, but, you know, the microbial life that is in the soil, we all know that there's microbial life in our gut and in our body. Yeah. And when you eat vegetables that are covered in poison for those gut bacteria, you're going to start killing off the things that protect you inside. Mm-hmm. And so when you're eating all of that stuff and all of your, you know, internal microbes start dying off, you're not going to be able to fight off things, you know, and that can lead to all kinds of health problems, including, I think, when you're unhealthy and when your body isn't functioning at its peak because it's getting the fuel that it needs, it does make you sluggish and tired and just kind of cruddy feeling.
Yeah. So could you tell me your opinion on the effect of conventional pesticide methods versus newer IPM techniques on the environment?
So would you mind specifying for me what you mean by IPM techniques? Does that include pesticides treating specific pests, or is that pesticide-free application?
Integrated pest management, it's almost an umbrella of, like, tactics. It does involve, like, targeting pests, but instead of it being more and being as toxic and full of chemicals that conventional pesticides are used in, and like the high doses of it, it kind of like minimizes them, and it more so like suppresses the pest problems by minimizing the conditions that they have to thrive and have to like live to be on our crops in our food.
Right. Totally. Okay. So, I think that, you know, the application of any non-natural substance is going to have a negative effect on the natural environment. So the point of a pesticide, you know, or a fungicide or an herbicide, another name for them is antimicrobial. So if you're antimicrobes, the point of them is to kill. The point is to kill off these things that are, you know, supposedly causing harm to your plant. Mm-hmm. However, you know, when you do that or you target certain pests, bugs and things, and you kill all of that one pest, well, now the beneficial bug that eats that pest has nothing to eat. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start dying. So anything that kills is going to affect the entire system. So in my opinion, the effect of conventional pesticide methods goes everywhere. It goes from killing the life in the soil, which, you know, leads to microbial life decline, which leads to, you know, none of that, like soil glue and structure that holds the soil together, which then makes dead dirt and sand that just blows away in the wind. So there's soil erosion. Then you have all those pesticides in the ground, and when the rain or irrigation hits it, it soaks it down into the water basins underground where we pull our water from. So you have harmful things in the water, you know, and then like we talked about just before, you know, you eat those pesticides when you eat that produce and it harms you. Mm-hmm. So the effects of pesticides, I think, climb into every part of life.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are other ways of doing things, I think.
Yes, that actually leads into our next question, which is, what are other ways do you think can rid crops of pests and insects and disease that does not involve the use of pesticides and herbicides, insecticides, and anything that falls under that category?
Yeah. Well, that's my whole mission with my farm is, you know, I don't use any insecticides or synthetic fertilizers because nature doesn't need it. You know, if you stand and you step back and you watch what nature does on its own, it gives you all the information that you need to produce healthy, nutritionally dense produce. And so my job as a farmer is to watch Mother Nature and then mimic her. What does she do? You know, it's understanding the full system from top to bottom. You know, there's a below ground ecosystem and an above ground ecosystem. Below ground is the soil, and that is the lifeblood of all plants. You know, you are what you eat. If you eat junk food, you're going to get a junk food body, right? If you feed your plants junk food that's just NPK, you know, with synthetic fertilizers, you're not going to get the diverse trace minerals and vitamins that you're supposed to be getting in that fruit. So, for example, on my farm, in order to feed the soil, I add compost and ground plant materials. That gives the microbes and the worms and the other arthropods in the soil something to eat, places to hide, places to hibernate. And then I also try not to till up the soil, because when you till the soil and you expose all of those little creatures with no skin to the wind and the sun, they dry out and they die, you know? So they want to be, you know, nature layers itself. Trees shed leaves and they protect the soil from the sun and drying out, and then the plants can grow up underneath that. And with pests, you know, it's again, it's like a Nancy Drew, you're investigating, you know, what kind of pests do I have? For example, I had issues with flea beetles last year. And flea beetles, you got to research, you know, what eats flea beetles? Nematodes in the soil eat their eggs. So I introduced beneficial nematodes to the soil. But once you introduce something beneficial, you have to make sure it wants to stay. So you have to give them an environment that they want to stay, where they have food, they have protection, and they have a place to winter over, so that next year you don't have to add any more. You already have a population there. So it's, you know, building up habitats with native plants, flowering shrubs and trees that offer food and protection year round for all the different kinds, you know, of insects that you need. You need some bad insects, right? Because the good insects need something to eat. You can't eradicate just one type, or else you're going to throw the balance of all the diversity off. So hopefully that answers your question.
That does. Thank you. So this process, it does sound a bit, I guess, time consuming and a bit strenuous. And I know that pesticides are like mainly used because it is fast and it does produce crops more quickly without, I guess, trying to, what is the word? Like monitor 24/7 the crops and plants. So do you also believe that because pesticides can get food quickly, that this is a reason that they are mainly still around and popular?
Yeah, I think it's a factor, most definitely. You know, it's easier to take than to give.
Yeah.
And you know, as we're experiencing globally, we are taking too much as a species, and it's causing problems. Mm-hmm. So I think that even though, you know, the regenerative agriculture approach does take time, it's time that we have to take in order to save life. I think that the convenience of pesticides makes them, you know, popular. And I think the lack of information about their dangers also contributes to the wide, you know, to their wide usage. And of course, you know, it's a government subsidies play a large part in the use of pesticides and fungicides on a on the large monocropping level.
Reminds me of a conversation I was having with someone the other day about how making the switch to, you know, regenerating and giving more than we take from nature is going to be like a hard shift for society, because a lot of our bodies have become acclimated to pesticides being used in our food. And of course our digestive systems have kind of been shaped to like recognize these pesticides and I guess, evolvement. Yes. Our bodies as humans have evolved to take these pesticides and like not be sick from them. So when switching to regenerative, or like if the society was to switch, do you feel like maybe a lot of people would reject it, like not socially but their bodies, and like people may get sick or people may even could pass away?
I think that pesticides are making us sick. You know, we have, everyone takes medication these days. You know, everyone has something, you know, that's wrong with us, whether it's our gut, our skin, our allergies, cancer, diabetes, you know, there are all kinds of things that plague us that we think, well, you know, people just get that. And I think that there is a cause for those things. And you know, you are what you eat. I think we need to look at what we are eating. And if we remove those poisons from our diet, I think our bodies will be happier in the long run. They have adapted to not, you know, die. But, you know, I don't think that they're operating at their optimum capacity either.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
I think when we give back to the earth, we're giving back to ourselves, and most importantly, the generations after us, you know?
Exactly. So what, I guess my last question would be, what would you suggest for people who want to eat healthier, even grow healthier, but can't, but don't know where to start, or don't know where to begin their research, or don't know where to look? Because sometimes those organic foods can be, you know, more expensive, or even starting your own garden or farm can be expensive and out of reach for some people. So what would you suggest to those who are seeking to do that?
Well, I think the first thing for me when I started my journey many, many years ago was figuring out where it was my food was coming from exactly. You know, I go to the grocery store and I pick up a bag of grapes, you know, and it says, you know, coming from Mexico. So then you think like, oh gosh, how much gasoline do you think it probably took to get it from Mexico to here? How much refrigeration, how much, you know, time and energy and all of that? I think, you know, finding out where your vegetables come from and then maybe trying to find some that are local helps a lot. If you buy your vegetables from a farmer's market or a local farm CSA, you can go to that place and see, what are you doing to my food? Exactly. I think seeing with your own eyes and being involved with your food makes all the difference in the commitment, because it is more of a commitment to eat that way.
Yeah.
And there's no getting around that. You know, processed food is here because it is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pesticides are here because they are convenient. So we have to go against the grain and work a little harder to educate ourselves and to be involved. And I think growing a garden at home is a perfect way to really get involved with your food. YouTube is my best friend, and it can teach you anything. You know, there are all kinds of resources out there, seed starting classes. If you Google your area, you know, you can grow, throw some seeds in the backyard and water it, and something will grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems daunting, but I think... you know, the best advice is to just give it a shot, dive in, do some research, and get more involved with where your food is coming from.
That's great. I would like to call it like active participation, it sounds like, especially with the first half of what you said, becoming involved and being aware of where your food is coming from. I think that is a great first step, because a lot of people aren't aware of where their food comes from. They're just, you know, taking it because, okay, this is in front of me, so it has to be good for me. Like, people wouldn't give me something that isn't good for me, when in reality, people would, because it's making the money quick. Yep, it's making the money quick, and that's really all they care about is not, and it's not your well-being. You have to care for your own well-being, and of course, your families and families.
Yeah, and the more information that's out there, the better. Mm-hmm. I think this podcast is a wonderful example of that. Just getting information into people's ears.
Yep.
The more, you know, the more information there is out there, the harder it is, you know, to eat things covered in pesticides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Chelsea, for speaking with me and answering questions. This was great. This was amazing. You did great. You taught me so much in the process, and I know you're going to teach all the audience out there so much too. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm honored to have been asked, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
This podcast.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a great rest of your night.
Thank you. You
thank
too,
you.
Sincere.
Thank you. I'm Sincere Douglas, and we're back with Squabbles of the Soil, and today I am here with Sydney Snellen to further discuss pesticide use in food crops. All right, so what is your name and some information about yourself?
Hi. My name is Sydney Snellen, and I'm a sophomore at Austin Peay State University, and I'm studying agri-science with a focus on pre-food technology. I think I was drawn to study food technology because I wanted to, like, better understand what goes into our food and how it's grown. And I think it's, like, kind of interesting to learn that there's so much more that, like, goes into our food that we're aware of, like, you know, good and bad.
Yes, that is true. There is, like, so much that goes into our food. And I don't think, like, a lot of people are aware of what goes into our food. So I want to ask you, today we're speaking about pesticides. You know, as you know, we spoke previously. So I want to ask you, what is your involvement in the use of pesticides in food crops? And what experiences do you have with using pesticides?
Okay. So, as I said, I am focused on the food technology track. So, like, post-graduation, I want to become a food technologist. I do currently have my own garden at home where I grow cooked vegetables.
Okay.
Two major, tomatoes, carrots, and maple, you know. I do apply herbicides and insecticides to my plants. I usually tend to focus to my garden around, like, warmer months. So, like, you know, mid-April.
Okay.
And my business are usually, like, ready to be picked, you know, before fall. I do not sell them, but, well, I do kind of sell them to my family.
Okay. So, As you know, like you said, you do use herbicides and insecticides. There's been so much controversy over should we use herbicides and should we use insecticides. A lot of people are thinking that we should do a more organic switch, given the climate of the world and given how everything has changed and how it's affecting our bodies, how it's affecting children and their development. So I just want to know, like, what is your opinion on the effect of conventional pesticide methods versus the new integrated pest management methods and how they have affected the environment?
Okay, well, conventional methods have, like, allowed crops to grow, like, in abundance and very quickly. Like, that has been, like, particularly important, especially, like, while we were in wars. Mm-hmm. Hence, you know, when pesticides truly became a must-have, you know?
Yeah.
In the 1950s, the world needed food, we needed fast, resources were short, and all we did have were chemicals to turn to.
Yeah.
I do believe that, like, conventional pesticides have damaged the environment in a very significant way. Mm-hmm. Like, many insect species are targeted, have suffered tremendous losses.
Yeah.
Like, plants have built up tolerance to, like, chemicals, which have furthered the need for stronger pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
Though we needed these, like, strong chemicals, we do not need them, like, now.
Yeah.
The environment and earth have suffered so much loss at the hands of, like, you know, the conventional pesticides. Like, many insects and pests that target food crops are no longer a threat in, like, you know, large numbers. Diseases that, like, once, like, you know, plagued crops have also been, like, squared away. So I think that the integrated pest management approach, chemicals aside, can still control pests and protect our crops. I think that there are physical, biological, genetic, and, like, cultural approaches that are better suited for the environment today.
Yeah.
Also, like, synthetically produced compounds are not, like, you know, as needed as they were when they were first introduced. And, like, over time, like, the earth has changed and evolved so much. So I think that it's also time that we change the way that we produce and handle, you know, food.
I really do like that answer, Sydney. A lot of people, I like how your answer wasn't just black or white. Like, a lot of people do feel like there needs to be a side, like you need to be pesticides or you need to be, like, against pesticides. But I like how you were basically highlighting that, like, at one point in time, we did need pesticides. Like, without pesticides, our food production probably wouldn't have got as far as it is now. But we have to learn and we have to be aware that the earth is changing, the way that the earth is changing, insect species are changing, plants are changing. As much as we are evolving, the earth is evolving with us. So yeah, I really do like that answer. That definitely gives a new perspective. That leads me to ask, given your answer, since you say we do not need pesticides now, so do you believe that pesticides are the only way to grow food crops efficiently and effectively? And what draws you to the answer that, you know, you're gonna have?
Okay. Making me think today. Pesticides, like, were essential at one point.
Yeah.
But I do not think that our food production and abundance, like, would have come as far along as it has without these pesticides. Like,
yeah.
Pesticides have, like, shaped the way that we receive and grow food.
Yeah.
And, like, if pesticides were, like, never created, we could very well be, like, in food shortage right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you believe we are struggling now without pesticides, the struggle would be way more real, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, however, like, as I said, like, the earth does not require these strong pesticides to still be used today. Like, so today, like, I don't necessarily believe that synthetically made pesticides are the only way to, like, grow our crops, like, effectively.
Yeah. Yeah, that leads back into your previous answer, how there's, like, so many different approaches, like, physical, biological, genetic, and cultural. like, I feel like people feel like we only need chemicals and we only have chemicals to turn to, you know? When there's so many other options, and I just think people aren't exposed to those options and aren't educated on those options, which is exactly why we're doing this podcast and is exactly why you gave us so much insight today. So thank you so much, Sydney, for your time.
You're welcome.
Like I said, you gave us so much insight today. I know everybody who listens will be appreciating this. I know I definitely appreciated it. You definitely have taught me something today. So I know you said you're in your pre-food technology pathway, so I'm wishing you all the success and all the good juju. So your knowledge and opinions have definitely been extremely helpful and enlightening today. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Squabbles of the Soil. Join us again to explore more controversial topics in agriculture. And remember, when you think your side is the only side, keep on digging.